This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I expect them to express interest in Zach LaVine, but he's making almost $40 million. And so to total the salaries, to reach that amount in a trade, guys like D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, they are not both trade eligible till mid-January. And so the Bulls, I'm sure, would covet Austin Reeves in any potential Zach LaVine trade.
We're back with more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Seems like it is inevitable lately that Zach LaVine will at some point during the season move on from being a Chicago Bull and end up somewhere. The question really is where. You know, one of the text messages, Clay, came in. And it was like, hey, you remember when I told you they got to get rid of Zach and blow the whole thing up? What do you got to say about that now? And I was like, well, here's what I have to say is that it's sad. It's sad that it's gotten to this point. It's sad that, you know, Zach LaVine got his money and then is trying to work his way out of Chicago instead of being like, you know, taking the, like, I don't know, Giannis approach. Put the city on my back and I want to be here. I want to grow here. And that's the part. That's the saddest part for me is that he hasn't had that mindset.
He hasn't. And you know, watching yesterday's game, to me, it felt like he was kind of checked out. And he it's getting to the point where he's almost not playing hard. You know what's funny about Zach LaVine is he popped up on this video, and this is completely off topic.
Yeah, so
I apologize for this.
But a professional. I'll reel this back in somehow.
Yeah, but he's got like, what? It's like $250 million contract, right?
Something like that, $40 million a year, like said.
And he's talking about, you know, athletes and how they got to be careful with their family and stuff, asking for money. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like with it. And he's like, yeah, like you'll have friends that ask you for $1,000 or, you know, maybe your brother asks you for a couple grand here. And it's like, you know, I go, bruh, you ain't, if you're an NFL player making $1 million a year that turns into 500,000, I completely agree. Right. You got to be careful. You are making 200. You are making a quarter of a billion.
You got New Balance money.
$100 million. Right, like, bro, you can give away $1,000 like I can give away a penny as a dude that, you know, if NFL player makes $10 million.
I heard you saying. He's Clay Harbor.
He's tight.
And so if you want a couple thousand from him, just hit him up on Twitter, social media.
That was not the moral of the story.
I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score.
I got you.
And we get to talk to our next guest about Zach LaVine. Not his money, but more so where that money might be headed. He is the NBA writer for CBSSports.com. And he's just all around good guy, man. I remember talking to him from before. Colin Ward Henninger. Colin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm just enjoying sitting back and listening you guys talk about Zach LaVine. This is awesome.
Oh, trust me. Stick around for the rest of the hour. I could do it all day, Colin. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, something that Clay just said is that, you know, it does seem that Zach LaVine is a bit checked out. You've seen him passive in the first quarters lately. Shot selection has been a bit worse. His numbers are down from last year. And, you know, he knows, just like I'm sure majority of us do, that the Bulls aren't going to be, or Chicago isn't going to be home for him for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that he wants out. It's pretty clear that the Bulls want him out. The latest report is that trading LaVine is basically their main focal point right now. Obviously, the Bulls have a couple of other players that people might be interested in, DeMar DeRozan and particularly Alex Caruso, who would fit on a lot of contenders. As of now, it seems like the front office is saying, let's deal Zach LaVine, let's figure that out, and then we'll see what we have. So the problem is, I mean, you guys all hit on it. Like, he's making a ton of money, and he's basically, at this point in his career, a one-way player. So it's hard to find a contender who is willing to pay that much money for a guy who is going to be, you know, on a championship team, maybe you're number three. I mean, maybe number two if he really starts to buy in on the defensive end. But paying that much money for a number three in this climate, this economic climate in the NBA, with the penalties that come with paying those high salaries, is going to be a hard thing to find.
And I think this might have an effect on Zach LaVine. This is a stat I heard today, Gabe. Mm-hmm. Bulls Zach LaVine has the worst career winning percentage in the NBA among active players. Vooch is fourth worst on the list, but LaVine has won just 36% of his games, minimum 500 games.
I mean, he was with Minnesota for a while, so you know you got to look deep into that stat. And then the Bulls, you know, when he first got to the team, they you know didn't have Vooch. I'm making excuses for him. It's fine.
He's just not winning games. You're a superstar player. You know, you're supposed to be able to help your team win games. If you're better than the player across from you, if you're playing defense, you're playing offense, Zach LaVine is not winning games, and that's something the Bulls should have taken into account. Obviously, I was a Zach LaVine fan. The guy can fill it up. The guy can shoot. You know, he can score. He can take it to the basket, but he's not winning games. So is there anyone else on this Bulls roster that's being coveted by other teams? Is DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Vooch? I think DeRozan and Vooch are the players that Bulls fans can see walking away. Do you see that as something that's possible?
It's going to be tough. I mean, I would say out of those two, DeRozan is the more attractive player. Getting a big center who's not a rim protector, even though he can shoot, it still doesn't really fit the mold of a lot of these teams. And if you're going to bring in a guy who's, you know, you need to average 23, 24 points just to be able to justify his place on the court, a contender probably isn't the place for him. DeRozan is a guy who I'm sure a lot of contenders would like, and he's on that expired contract, so that's you know, pretty attractive. But really, the guy I mentioned him earlier is Alex Caruso, and that's who every contender wants. And I think that's the guy who, I mean, it's going to be crazy to think about, but he might actually fetch a more attractive package than Zach LaVine when you factor in the money, which is pretty crazy. You know, Caruso's a guy you can just plug in on any team. He's still playing a little bit better offensively this year, but obviously you're getting him for his defensive capabilities, a playoff player. You see it in the playoffs every year. You can't have guys who are one-way players. They'll attack you over and over and over defensively. So that's why guys like LaVine, even DeRozan at times, and Vucevic are going to be hard to put on a playoff contender. And then if you look at the teams who are rebuilding, they don't want older players who are established. So, it's just a very difficult climate to find homes for these guys.
We're talking to Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez, along with 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor. You know, you have seen Alex Caruso pulling the trigger a little quicker than he has in most years. Clearly playing trying well to showcase that, you know, he can hit that three and knock it down. I look at the Bulls team and, you know, I feel like watching DeMar DeRozan play is like you're watching a guy at the tail end of his career for the last couple where, you know, he had that rejuvenated year where he wanted to prove to people that he was still good the first year with the Bulls. Then, you know, last year you saw some sort of regression, and then this year, it's almost like father time has finally caught up with DeMar DeRozan's game, where the mid-range isn't falling as it once was. You know, the elevation, as if he does get to the cup, is not as high. He's not getting the calls the same way. And I think that is something that's also contributed to just lack of success from the Chicago Bulls. Colin, when you look at, you know, where the Bulls are at, and obviously, you know, everybody talks about the inefficiency of the big three, but, like, try to look at it specifically. Like, what do you feel like has happened, like, this season where I pointed to the deterioration in play of DeMar DeRozan? You know, what else would you attribute to, like, why this thing just didn't get out to a hot start?
Yeah, I think all the things you're saying are correct, particularly with DeRozan. You see this with older players, particularly a guy who is, you know, made his money in the mid-range. It's just simply not efficient enough. Even though he's a tremendous mid-range shooter, you need to be able to shoot threes if you're going to be a perimeter player in the NBA. And I know that's a little simplistic, but unless you are just elite of the elite in terms of mid-range, you have to step out and be able to knock down threes. So that's really what this Bulls team has been missing, right? I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything new. They're putting up more threes, but they're shooting not very well on them. And Zach LaVine is a great shooter. But he needs to be able to be set up to knock down, catch, and shoot threes. And I don't know on that team who's really able to put their head down, get into the paint, make the defense move, so then you can kick out and get these wide-open threes. It's usually just a little my turn with their, you know, quote-unquote big three, just kind of taking turns to see who can get to the basket or who can knock down a jumper. So it's really depressing, and I think it's starting to weigh on the Bulls. Like these guys aren't bad players individually, but when you're playing together with the same guys over and over and you just keep losing and it's frustrating, I think that's what you're starting to see with the players. In addition to the deterioration of their skills, I think just mentally it's hard to buy in and play hard on defense and, you know, cut hard and come off screens the right way when you know you're going to lose. It's just a very difficult situation for them right now.
Yeah, to me it was crazy. They thought that bringing in Javon Carter and Torrey Craig was going to make this team magically go from a team that's losing in the play-in game to a team that's going to actually go somewhere in the playoffs. That's our big idea. So obviously I didn't think that was going to work, and unfortunately I was right. So if you're Mark Eversley, right, and you got to fix the Bulls, what are you doing? Well, I mean, what's your first move? You got to fix the Bulls. You're Mark Eversley. You're the GM of the Bulls. They hand you the keys. So, yeah. What are you doing?
Him and AK, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm starting my letter of resignation. I'm just going to get it typed out,
wow,
ready to go.
Just in case
I need to hit send, just get it ready. But, yeah,
I mean,
you have to get rid of LaVine, right? That's the key. What are you going to get for him? You need to get some draft picks, hopefully some young players. So the ideal return for him, I would say, would not be a player who you think can help you right now. I think you're looking at younger players.
Yeah,
you need to obviously match the salary, but let's try to get some older veterans on either expiring deals or with maybe 2 years left, just so that you can kind of start to get those guys out. Once you get rid of LaVine, then you can see what you have. You obviously have Vucevic for a couple more years. He's not a bad player to have on a rebuilding team, so I wouldn't mind keeping him around. But ultimately, DeRozan, if you can trade him, great. Otherwise, he's walking for nothing. So I would say try to get something for him. But mostly, if I'm the Bulls, you just have to look in the mirror and realize that you are not going to be a competitor anytime soon. So you need to just kind of start from scratch. The experiment, it worked for like, what, 20 games? It looked pretty cool, and then it ended up not working. So instead of doubling down and really trying to add to this roster, I think it's time to just, you know, let everybody's favorite phrase, blow it up.
Yeah, we're talking to Colin Ward-Henniger from CBS Sports here on 670 The Score. The biggest issue for that, Colin, is like you look at the talent that's coming on the draft, and not only this year but the next, and you're like, damn, what a terrible time to want to blow it up and start all over, knowing that, you know, you're not necessarily going to have a franchise-altering talent at the top of the draft board, you know, to get you there. But I think for me as a fan, there comes a point. Like, Colin, what's your favorite basketball team to watch? Like, obviously you cover everybody, but, like, favorite team?
I grew up in L.A., so I'm a Lakers,
oh, okay,
Clippers guy.
Yeah, see, so, like, you know, I think there came a point in Lakerdom, you know, before LeBron got there and all that, where you were like, damn, I just want to watch something different. Like, I don't care what they do, right? Like, just give me something different to watch. And I think that's where the majority of the fans in Chicago are at, including myself, where I did want this thing to work out. I did, you know, want them to build around one of the stars, specifically Zach LaVine. But at this point, it's just like, give me something different to watch, because the NBA is fun, right? There's a lot of talent out there, a lot of young teams out there with really good players. And it seems as though the Bulls just are on the other side of the youth movement and just the direction that the NBA is headed in.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm out in the Bay Area, so I'm thinking the same thing about the Warriors right now, where it's. I mean, these are obviously players who have won championships, so it's different than the Bulls. But in terms of what you're watching, it's been very similar. It's the same thing over and over. It's not working. It's the same players. And you start to grow frustrated, and you start to wonder whether this is the right team for the modern NBA. I mean, you mentioned these teams that are fun to watch. The pace is high. It's high scoring, a ton of threes, great skills, step backs, all this stuff. And when you're watching a team that looks like they're running around in mud, that looks like they're frustrated, they're banging their heads against the wall, it does get frustrating as a fan. So I can understand the hope that they would eventually just say, look, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over. And I think that's where the Bulls are at right now, judging by all the reports.
Yeah. Colin, so a little bit off topic. You went to Yale for undergrad?
I did. Yale baseball, baby.
Yale baseball. I love that. So
Clay's going to tell you how he was a seven-sport athlete in high school.
I was a three-sport all-state athlete.
Chess, and, master chess player, too. He played yeah. it in between games.
But I got a quiz for you, Colin. There is a linebacker in the NFL who is a Yale alumni, was drafted from Yale, and right now is on pace to be all pro. Do you know who that is?
Can I use my computer? There was a tight end I played with. I think his name was Nate Lowry or something like that, and he played in the NFL. And then Mike McDaniel is a Yale football player.
Gabe, in popular alumni from Yale. It is literally incredible the amount of popular alumni.
Foye Aluakon.
But Foye Aluakon, exactly. He's Jaguar, and the reason I played for the Jaguars, Colin, so I know Foye. He's a very well-liked guy down there. And just a question for you, how is playing sports in the Ivy League when you have all those studies to take care of?
Well, it's, you know, sometimes players choose to prioritize sports over the studies, which may or may not have happened in my case, but no, it's difficult. I mean, whenever we talk about like college athletes and you know, the NIL and all that stuff, I really think of how difficult it must be, because I went to an Ivy League and I played baseball, like, you know, one of the least watched, the most least important sports. And even that, I mean, you're waking up and going to the weight room. I don't need to tell you, but you know, you're going to conditioning, you're going to practice, you're going to sessions, like all this stuff. And that's just for Ivy League baseball. So I can't imagine if you're, you know, a football player at Alabama or something like that, what you have to go through on a daily basis. So the Ivy League does, they make some tweaks, or they used to. We used to play Saturday, Sunday doubleheaders each day, which were an absolute nightmare, usually cold. I was a pitcher, which is not good for me. But then they only allowed us to have one midweek game. So there were little things like that. But I think they've started to change and try to get a little more aggressive and let athletes be athletes.
Best perk about being a Yale alum, what is it?
Probably just telling people that you went to Yale.
Exactly.
I
do that all the time. I went to the Yale of the Midwest, they say, Colin.
Nobody says that.
Missouri State University.
You know how disrespectful it is for someone that actually went to Yale to hear that you went to the Yale of the Midwest? That's like hilarious. I love it. Hey, Colin, we appreciate you hanging out with us, man. As always, got to get you back on sooner. That's what we got to do. Talk some more hoops together, man. But it was great talking with you, all right?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Appreciate it, Colin.
Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Great stuff right there.
I'm surprised you've never heard of the Yale of the Midwest.
I went to the Yale of the inner city of Chicago, UIC.
You went to UIC?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
That's where I graduated from.
Really?
I went to SIU first.
You went to Southern?
Southern Illinois University.
Why'd you
first.
Go to Southern instead of... UIC.
So as a kid from the hood that knew nothing about college, none of his parents went, anything like that, I let my girlfriend pick my high school.
No, you didn't.
I went to Lane Tech and I was like, hey, wherever you want to go. I wanted to be a dentist because I knew a dentist, and I was like, I didn't know anything about college. And I was like, yeah, I want to be a dentist too. So just find somewhere that has my major and your major.
What was your major?
It was pre-dentistry initially.
What'd you end up graduating with?
A double major in economics and behavioral communication.
Damn, you're a nerd, huh?
I went to Lane Tech.
Major.
I love math. I love school. I love learning.
Yeah, Gabe Ramirez. Makes sense, man. The picture is starting to clear.
I used to work at H&R Block. I used to do people's taxes. I worked in finance for five years.
No, you didn't.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I used to, down the hall, all these radio people, I've helped so many of these radio people out with their taxes over the last
15
years that I've been here.
With my tax. I'm finishing up business school, so I need some help with my homework.
That's right. You're doing your master's right now. But how many conversations have we had about real estate, and how informed am I about that stuff?
You know your stuff. He's got that business mind. It makes sense.
He used to work in finance, like I said. So I'm all about
that stuff.
Man. All right. You're going to learn something new about the Chicago Bears on the other side. And that is what we think the record will be for the last handful of games that they have. Don't say it now. Don't say it now. We're going to say it now. That's a tease. It's called Got You Right
There. Undefeated.
All right. 312-644-6767. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's 9-year NFL vet, Clay Harbor. We got Alex Kuhn manning the phones producing today. So if you call in right now, I want to know, what you think the record will be for the last six games for the Bears after the bye week. I'm curious. 312-644-6767. And then Clay's going to tell us what it's like for an NFLer during the bye week. We'll do both of those on the other side. But make sure you guys call in so we can get your record at the end. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor here on 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
They pack the paint, so to speak. You know, some of their coverages are, you know, where it's three deep and they got, you know, two guys in the middle. You know, so really the open spots on a lot of those are the perimeter. And you certainly can hit some side high side pockets on those, which we did with DJ a couple times. You know, but, you know, certainly they give those things away. You know, you just got to do a real good job of spitting the ball out there, you know, blocking well on the perimeter, which we did at times. You know, you saw DJ get a couple nice runs there towards our bench. There was a couple times. But that's where you can take advantage of it.
Gabe Ramirez, along with Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL vet. Just heard from Coach Eberflus talking about the Bears. And we're going to find out what it's like to be an NFL player during bye week. How crazy do you go? How much money do you blow? We'll talk to Clay and ask him that question. But Bears on the bye week. Bears got six games left. What do you think the record's going to be? Let me tell you, that's before you jump in, because I already know your answer. So Bears take on the Detroit Lions. Oh, five games left. Sorry. Five games left. The Detroit Lions, Cleveland Browns with P.J. Walker or Joe Flacco, Arizona, and a playoff-trying Atlanta team and a playoff-trying Green Bay team. At the beginning of the season, you thought that three-game stretch at the end was going to be a cakewalk. You thought... Man, that's three. Bears might be able to, you know, whatever the record could be, sneak in the playoffs with this last 3 months. But last five games, what you got, Clay?
I mean, these are winnable games. You look at it, the Lions. Tell me they shouldn't have won that game.
They shouldn't have won that game.
They should have won that game.
Three interceptions, that probably never, like, that's just not Jared Goff. So it's like lucky.
They forced lucky. Three interceptions. They had the ball with the chance to put the game away.
True.
Some bad calls. Obviously, maybe even if you block them up, you make the offensive coordinator right. Should have beat the Lions in Detroit. The Lions playing in Dome. They're a soft team. Now they come to Chicago in the element. It's going to be cold. It's going to be rainy. They're used to being nice and warm and comfortable in that Dome of theirs. I'm taking the Bears. Then you got the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, this team is not good.
Yeah, they're not good. The quarterback is still dangerous, and that's the thing. But then you got Atlanta and Green Bay. So what do you got? What you got?
I'm Green curious. Bay, okay, that's going to be a tough one. Then the Browns, great defense. Joe Flacco is going to need a wheelchair to get out on the field. So they get the Falcons after that, and obviously they're back at Devin Ritter after moving on from him. Desmond Ritter, I'm sorry. So I'll take the Bears with the last five games. I'm going to say they're going to go 3-2.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3-2.
Okay, 3-2 is not
bad. Glass half full, Gabe. Let's go.
Let's see here. Let's go to the phones because I want to hear what other people think. Let's go to Mike out in Rockford. Mike, before you talk about the defense, tell me how many wins you think the Bears are going to have out of these last five games.
You know, it's all up to what Luke Getsy is willing to let Justin Fields do with the offense. I think the defense is doing well under Eberflus, even after debacle with the defensive coordinator. So let's let him fly, open it up. You know, I don't get these wide receiver screens and stuff like that he's trying to do. It's not really helping Justin Fields.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that a lot today, you know, but
yeah.
I'm going to give you my prediction, Clay.
Yeah.
I think, let's see here. I think that 5 games left, if they can get two, I think they're going to get 2 victories. I just think Green Bay is going to come out on fire. I think Atlanta is going to be playing, motivated. You know, I think Cleveland's defense is going to be a problem. Detroit is good. Arizona, you know, they're going to want to get one more win. I think 2 wins is going to be right where they're at. I don't know.
All right. I'm going 3, Gabe. And I think, and he brought up a good point. You know, let Justin, I know we've been talking about let Justin Fields loose. But they're so worried about just sneaking out a win here or there, looking like they can play, saving their job, showing they can win games and maybe save the gig.
If they lose to Detroit, that's the thing. It's going to be a downhill. Like, it's going to be a snowball effect where the negativity, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard.
Well, here's the thing. Detroit, a team you should have beat, they're the team that's winning the division, Gabe.
Right.
And we're talking about Justin Fields. He should have won that game.
Okay.
That's the best team in the division.
All right.
He outplayed Jared Goff. He had a heck of a game running the ball and throwing the ball.
But remember, Eberflus said he got to be consistent, right? That's what he's looking for in these last 5 games, 6 games at the time. And hopefully he could be consistent and be better than Jared Goff again. And that's what we're chatting about. It's Gabe Ramirez, along with 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor, taking some phone calls. How many wins do you think the Bears are going to have out of the last 5 games? 312-644-6767. Clay, I got to give a quick little shout out.
Yeah.
You know, have you met Pito before? I think you met, no, you haven't met Pito before. One of my best friends, and you know, he's out with his daughter, Dee, and they're celebrating her 16th birthday.
No way.
I know, 16th birthday.
16th birthday.
I remember her when she was so little, and now when you're 16, you're like, and she's, you know, grown woman, you know, very smart, very intelligent, always known her to be very respectful.
Yeah.
And so they're making their ways, they did some, whatever, some fancy sushi stuff that her dad took her to. Now they're headed to,
I love that,
to get some birthday love somewhere else.
Get some ice cream. Jenny's ice cream.
No, there's got to be way better than that. Come on, stop it.
You don't like Jenny's?
I mean, it's cool, but that's not where I'm going on my birthday.
Okay.
Where would you go on your birthday? I know where you're going.
My favorite bakery for Thanksgiving, I brought the family. If you're in Chicago, West Loop, West Town area, it's called Aya, A-Y-A. Great cakes, pies, pastries in the morning. Aya Bakery. And if you're in like Logan Square, Wicker Park area, I'd go to Mindy's. But those two bakeries, I'd go and I'd get a cake there and I'd just eat the whole thing.
I went to Roser's Bakery today, which is like a staple in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, right on North I've Avenue heard of that one. I've never been.
So I went there. I got a haircut today. I go next door. They had like buy one, get one free loaves of bread. So I had to buy one of those. And then they had this half of a cake for $5. Because somebody didn't want it, so they just had her there. And it was like a pineapple buttercream, and I was like, bruh, I'm buying this. $5? Hell yeah, I bought that. That's what it is. I should have brought it to Delaney and gave it to her father to sing a cake. But I'm sure that she wanted something a little bit special today. But the thing is this. I just want to say in closing, hey, man, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I know you got a couple more years left. Your father loves you dearly. He always shares pictures with us. He always shares your journey with us. And you know, I just want you to know that you are loved not only by your dad, but by, you know, his extensions that feel out myself, Martin, Jesse, the whole 3-Room-2 crew. We love seeing you grow. We love seeing you become the woman that you are. And your parents do a great job. So does Jen. I know Jen keeps you on the straight and narrow. So happy birthday to you. Pito, I love you. Lonnie, love you. And enjoy the rest of your day. All right. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, I teared up a little bit right there, man. Can we get some violin music?
I think your brother's on the phone. Yeah. I think your brother's on the phone.
What do you mean?
I think your brother's on the phone.
He's on the phone line?
Yeah. We're going to talk to him after the break.
Well, let's not.
Keeping it in the family. He said, let's not. All right. 312-644-6767. Taking some more calls on the Bears and maybe or maybe not talking to Corey's brother on the other side. It's 670 The Score.
My name's Clay.
Excuse me. Clay's brother. On the other side, it's 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This show has gone by extremely fast today. Mm-hmm. Like, probably the fastest show we've ever done.
Bro, it seems so like. Fast.
And we only had, you know, a couple of guests, which is odd, but it's Gabe Ramirez It's nine-year NFL vet Clay Harbor hanging out on 670 The Score. Got about 15 minutes left. We're going to take some calls, throw it out to you. And I know you didn't believe me, but damn. I told you. I said, it's your brother. He loves you. That's why. He's like, why is he calling in? Because he loves you. That's why. Let's bring Clay's brother, Corey, onto the show. Corey, good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, Gabe. Good to talk to you as well, man. Fun conversation you guys are having tonight, so I figured I'd give you a buzz.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I really didn't think it was you, I know, to be honest, until I heard that voice. Like, but this is actually my brother, Corey Harbor, former academic advisor at Northwestern, former academic advisor at University of Illinois. So this guy's got some local schools under his
college
belt.
College athlete,
5-year college athlete, defensive end linebacker at the Missouri State University.
So I've heard before that that's the Yale of the Midwest.
It is, actually. They call it the Yale of the Midwest.
Yeah. Corey, talk to me about this Bears team and your thoughts on it and where they stand
right now. Give
us
the draft. What do you think, man?
Guys, so I think there's a lot more to be currently encouraged about than we all like to think. So, the Bears are two wins short of being in contention here. And those two wins, as you mentioned, Lions game, Broncos game, those games go the other direction with better coaching. You're looking at a very different experience. And then on top of that, gentlemen, so I think you really, in the draft, you need to look at building around Fields instead of resetting the clock, drafting another quarterback, taking the coin flip option. You build around Fields, you treat the draft like you treated it this year. You get the first pick, you trade back a little bit, you bring in a veteran, a guy like that we brought in this year at wide receiver. Maybe you bring in a defensive counterpart to that, or maybe you continue to build offensive line, whatever that is. All that to say, the pieces are coming together. I think it would be a big mistake for elsewhere at the QB position.
Yeah, Corey, I think the issue there, right, is that there's no contingency plan, right? You're trying to build around the guy as if there is 100% certainty around his future success in the NFL.
Yeah, man, you're really rolling the dice, and when you got something serviceable, and I don't even like calling Fields serviceable, I think he has a better chance to be more than that. You think about old Bear football, and I know people don't want to hear that in the new age football, but the Bears can get by playing that run first. Obviously, you can continue to work the ball downfield with quality receivers. It didn't have to be super run heavy, but with a strong defense, that's your recipe. Run game, defense. Good quarterback to keep the ball moving on third down because run pass option. You don't have to light the scoreboard up with 30 points every game if you're playing defense like you're currently playing. So, yeah, man, I think that's the recipe next year. And if you get some better offensive coaching in there, maybe it all comes together.
So me and Gabe have been talking about this pretty much all day here. Well, at least the second half of the show. What positions would you target in the draft? If you're the Bears, like what actual positions do you think the Bears are the weakest at that they need to actually target in the draft?
Yeah, I think offensively, the Bears still need some playmakers out there, man. I think they would still benefit from another receiver potentially. Yeah, definitely the game. If you're watching the game, Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert are nice, but if they make a guy miss one tackle, I mean, those guys were getting open field tackled one guy. You get a little wiggle out there, now you got explosive plays. Give
running
field
back.
A little bit more help in the backfield. Yeah, I would go explosive type running back. You bring in and I know Christian McCaffrey is a one in a million, but if you have some explosiveness back there to go with Fields, that's going to be a dynamic duo. And then the other one defensively, I think our safeties and our defensive backfield have played better, but on a week-to-week basis, we see our man Eddie getting burnt and the other guy out there in the corner.
Eddie's
so I think your defensive backfield can improve. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think there's a lot of issues that the Bears have to fill. I guess I'm fearful. Like, there's more fear for me, Corey, about, if Justin Fields doesn't work out and then we're back in a situation where, you're still the Bears and you have no quarterback and that continues, right? Where we've seen all these other teams, have success or at least be proactive in trying to fix the situation or continuously have a solution at that position. And I think that's the part for me where I know I can go get – we know that other positions are easier to replace than the quarterback position. So given the opportunity to select someone at that mark 2 years in a row and passing up on it is extremely difficult for me. But like I told your brother, Clay, I said, I still want Justin there. In the event that he does end up being a guy.
Yeah, listen to this, Corey.
What's the problem with that? You say it as if it's like,
Gabe, I don't mean for the Harbor brothers to team up on you like we used to do two-on-two basketball, and I feel bad for the competition. But on this one, man, I got to ride with my brother. Man, you cannot bring in a quarterback in training and play behind Fields in this scenario. I think it would be a mistake because you're not far off. The Bears games, they've lost a few tight games. You bring in another player or two dynamic players with Fields, that recipe, all of a sudden we're 6-5, 7-4 just by adding in a guy. And I know we're talking about like franchise altering QB. I do believe that you can still continue to win and have a strong team, strong quote-unquote program year to year with a Fields in play instead of taking a home run shot looking for the next Patrick Mahomes or whomever.
I hear that, but look, I'm trying to be a winning franchise, right? And when I look at three organizations that did exactly what I'm talking about, I think about the San Francisco 49ers bringing in Trey Lance with Jimmy G there, bringing in Brock Purdy or whatever. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles when they had Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, whatever that was there, and they still bring in Jalen Hurts. I look at, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs that bring in, you know, Patrick Mahomes when they still have Alex Smith. Those are winning franchises.
That's excellent.
And I am just trying to mirror whatever they are doing. They don't think it's a bad idea to do those things. And for me, I don't think it's a bad idea either.
I guess it's been done before, but typically you wouldn't want that. I feel like it's more of a...
Especially because you have two top 10 picks. It's not like you're doing it on Jalen a year Hurts. Where you only have one pick and you're
Jalen
blowing
Hurts,
it.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts was a second-round draft pick.
Exactly. Those guys are second-round, later-round. Brock Purdy, I mean, Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Hurts. I mean, and so, yeah, if you want to go ahead and use some draft capital on a third or fourth round QB development, develop a guy, let's do that. But I would say if you're going to use your top 10 on a QB, you know you're resetting your organization because you are in rebuild mode, unless you're getting a guy, an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning coming in. And even those guys struggled in year one. So we're back to rebuild, trusting a coaching staff to develop a quarterback, which we have never seen in Chicago. I would rather have the guaranteed B option instead of shooting for an A+ and with a chance of getting an F. You know what I mean? So let's continue to develop, guys. And I think that's where we differ. But I would like to get back to a little bit more old school Bear football, well-rounded team, play strong D. We saw the recipe. We got the W this week. Hey, the Bears win this week, guys, on Thursday after the bye. Coming up on next Sunday. What's the odds of them running the table going 9-8?
I don't know about that, man. Gabe has him winning two more games.
You have him winning three.
I have him winning three, so I don't think we're right there. But, I mean, you do bring up some valid points with the games the Bears have lost. If you win that game against the Lions, and I'm not saying they were 90% victorious. That's what it was like 94% chance they win. And against the Broncos, it was like an 85% chance they win.
Right.
These are two games that they should have, Gabe.
I agree with you. Two games they should have would put them in a much better situation. Corey, I appreciate you calling in, man, and checking in on Lil Broski over here. I'm a big brother myself, so I know what that is, you know?
Hey,
so.
And all those leftovers you got there, I mean, today's probably the last day you should eat them. I know you've been smashing
turkey
them all
sandwiches
week.
With mac and cheese on and mashed potatoes on top. All right, Corey.
That's so funny because, I literally had that conversation with my wife. We still had that sweet potato from Thanksgiving, and I made the judgment decision. That hit the garbage today, guys, so I'm on that side.
Smart. Once the sugar starts crusting around the sweet potatoes, you know it's time to throw those things away. All right, Corey, thanks for calling in, man. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor right here on 670 The Score. Clay, the Bears are in a tough situation, man. They're in a tough situation because, you know, you look at some of the – pull up that clip because I want to ask Clay about this this thing too. When you're looking at what happened at the end, you saw, you know, Justin Fields, you know, hugging Eberflus and Ryan Poles picking him up. Have you ever had a moment where, you know, during your NFL career where, you know, you had a moment with an exec where you thought everything was all good and then a couple months later, you know, something else happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's happened.
So we shouldn't read too deep into the smile and hug from Poles and Eberflus to Justin Fields.
I remember when I was playing with the Lions, the Detroit Lions, we were in the playoffs. We lost to the Seattle Seahawks, and I was a backup tight end. I had probably about 10 to 15 snaps on offense. I was actually playing a lot of fullback that year, and played core four special teams, and I had a really good game, like physical game. And I remember Dan Quinn, the GM, you know, coming up to me before I left the building. He's like, hey, man, I just want to say you really set the tone out there. You know, it's like, we need that guy here in the building. We're gonna get you back here in Detroit. And, you know, I'll be in touch with you and your agent. I'm like, dang, man. I'm like, thanks. Then come around the combine. That's when you start hearing about who's going to sign you to free agency. And I'm like, yeah, I told my agent. I go, yo, Detroit, I'm back in Detroit. Done deal. You know, talk to Dan Quinn. That's see what he has great. To say. And agent comes back. Yeah, I talked to Quinn. I'm like, yeah, what'd he say? He said they don't want you. They're going younger. I go, man, this dude was so jacked up about how I set the tone, exactly what they need on this team, the special teams. And then a couple months later, they want to go young? He was jacked up, shaking, squeezing my hand, giving me a hug. Like, man, you really set the tone out. There were some huge blocks playing physical. Yeah, we're actually going younger this year, Dave. Sorry, I wish Clay the best.
It's a financial decision at that point, I would assume.
Yeah, right? Financial decision. They don't want to pay the old guy. And my actual most awkward moment of my NFL, probably of my life, Gabe. I'll just tell you this quick story.
Great. I love this.
This is before a playoff game in 2010. Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Vick's the quarterback. DeSean Jackson just retired today. Heck of a career, DeSean. And Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, comes to the locker room sometimes before games. Not all the time thing. And he's walking up to the... you know, to my locker, and you can see him walking through
he's
the locker
right
room.
Right up to yours?
No, he's walking through the locker room, like giving guys hands. And I see him, he's shaking some guys' hands. He's giving some guys a pound. And when the owner comes in, everybody's kind of like at attention. You know, this is the owner. This is the guy cutting the checks.
Right.
All right, this guy's cutting your checks. You want to make sure you're real cool. I'm like, all right. So he comes up to my locker, Gabe. I go for the handshake. He goes for the pound. I switch to the pound. He switches to the handshake.
You're cut after that.
Then I switch. This is a true story. I switch back to the handshake.
Oh,
he goes
no.
to the pound. Last minute, I switch to the pound.
No.
He shakes my fist, my pound fist, and just shakes it. And I'm still getting awkward goosebumps right now thinking about how bad that was. And I had to go out and play a game after that awkward embrace with the owner. And we end up losing to the Green Bay Packers. Sorry, Chicago. They end up going on that year, winning the Super Bowl. We lost by 4 in the last second interception in the end zone. Michael Vick throwing the ball to Riley Cooper.
Should have been going to you.
Yeah.
That would have been the great. All right, give me the wrap-up music, Alex, because we are up out of here. Got to thank our guests for today. Of course, in the 6 o'clock hour, we got to talk to Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Carmen Vitale from Fox Sports hung out with us in the 7. And then Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports wrapped us up in the 8 o'clock hour. Got to thank our producer today, too, Alex Kuhn, for holding things down.
Alex.
No cut?
No one says good things about me, so I don't have...
Alex is the guy, man. Good stuff today.
Don't judge him by
his
last
name.
Alex is very proactive, like sending us the breakdown, sending us our guests. Like
a lot of pressure from upper management on that stuff.
Oh,
gotta get stuff done. I know how it goes over here.
Yeah, well, he does a good job.
Clay, you did a good job today, man. A great job.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy working with you. Look forward to the next time. Make sure you follow him on social media.
Do you know my tag?
What is it? C Harbs or Clay Harbs?
Clay Bachelor at.
No, it's not.
Stop. I'm kidding.
All right. If you want to have some content to talk to your girlfriend about later today, just go look up Clay Harbs. She'll know who he is. All right, mi gente. That means my people, you included there. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, which will be tomorrow, 6 p.m., leading you into Thursday Night Football. And then I'll be doing the morning show on Friday, so make sure you guys check me out there with Mully. I'll be filling in, all right? I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Clay Harbor, and this... Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This show has gone by extremely fast today. Mm-hmm. Like, probably the fastest show we've ever done.
Bro, seems so
like.
Fast.
And we only had, you know, a couple of guests, which is odd, but it's Gabe Ramirez. It's 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor hanging out on 670 The Score. Got about 15 minutes left. We're going to take some calls, throw it out to you. And I know you didn't believe me, but damn. I told you. I said, it's your brother. He loves you. That's why. He's like, why is he calling in? Because he loves you. That's why. Let's bring Clay's brother, Corey, onto the show. Corey, good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, Gabe. Good to talk to you as well, man. Fun conversation you guys are having tonight, so I figured I'd give you a buzz.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I really didn't think it was you, I know, to be honest, until I heard that voice. Like, but this is actually my brother, Corey Harbor, former academic advisor at Northwestern, former academic advisor at University of Illinois. So this guy's got some local schools under his
college
belt.
College athlete,
5-year college athlete, defensive end linebacker at the Missouri State University.
So I've heard before that that's the Yale of the Midwest.
It is, actually. They call it the Yale of the Midwest.
Yeah. Corey, talk to me about this Bears team and your thoughts on it and where they stand
right now. Give
us
the draft. What do you think, man?
Guys, so I think there's a lot more to be currently encouraged about than we all like to think. So, you know, the Bears are two wins short of being in contention here. And those two wins, as you mentioned, Lions game, Broncos game, those games go the other direction with better coaching. You're looking at a very different experience. And then on top of that, gentlemen, so I think you really, in the draft, you need to look at building around Fields instead of resetting the clock, drafting another quarterback, taking the coin flip option. You build around Fields, you treat the draft like you treated it this year. You get the first pick, you trade back a little bit, you bring in a veteran, a guy like that we brought in this year at wide receiver. Maybe you bring in a defensive counterpart to that, or you know, maybe you continue to build offensive line, whatever that is. All that to say, the pieces are coming together. I think it would be a big mistake for elsewhere at the QB position.
Yeah, Corey, I think the issue there, right, is that there's no contingency plan, right? You're trying to build around the guy as if there is 100% certainty around his future success in the NFL.
Yeah, man, you're really rolling the dice, and when you got something serviceable, and I don't even like calling Fields serviceable, I think he has a better chance to be more than that. You think about old Bear football, and I know people don't want to hear that in the new age football, but the Bears can get by playing that run first. Obviously, you can continue to work the ball downfield with quality receivers. It didn't have to be super run heavy, but with a strong defense, that's your recipe. Run game, defense. Good quarterback to keep the ball moving on third down because run pass option. You don't have to light the scoreboard up with 30 points every game if you're playing defense like you're currently playing. So, yeah, man, I think that's the recipe next year. And if you get some better offensive coaching in there, maybe it all comes together.
So me and Gabe been talking about this pretty much all day here. Well, at least the second half of the show. What positions would you target in the draft? If you're the Bears, like what actual positions do you think the Bears are the weakest at that they need to actually target in the draft?
Yeah, I think offensively the Bears still need some playmakers out there, man. I think they would still benefit from another receiver potentially. Yeah, definitely the game. If you're watching the game, Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert are nice, but if they make a guy miss one tackle, I mean, those guys were getting open field tackled one guy. You get a little wiggle out there. Now you got explosive plays. Give
running
field
back.
A little bit more help in the backfield. Yeah, I would go explosive type running back. You bring in and I know Christian McCaffrey is a one in a million, but if you have some explosiveness back there to go with Fields, that's going to be a dynamic duo. And then the other one defensively, I think our safeties and our defensive backfield have played better, but you know, on a week to week basis, we see our man Eddie getting burnt and the other guy out there in the corner.
Eddie's
so I think your defensive backfield can improve. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think there's a lot of issues that the Bears have to fill. I guess I'm fearful. Like, there's more fear for me, Corey, about, you know, if Justin Fields doesn't work out and then we're back in a situation where, you know, you're still the Bears and you have no quarterback and that continues, right? Where we've seen all these other teams, you know, have success or at least be, you know, I don't know, just proactive in trying to fix the situation or continuously have a solution at that position. And I think that's the part for me where I know I can go get – we know that other positions are easier to replace than the quarterback position. So given the opportunity to select someone at that mark 2 years in a row and passing up on it is extremely difficult for me. But like I told your brother, Clay, I said, I still want Justin there in the event that he does end up being a guy.
Yeah, listen to this, Corey.
What's the problem with that? You say it as if it's like,
Gabe, I don't mean for the Harbor brothers to team up on you like we used to do two-on-two basketball, and I feel bad for the competition. But on this one, man, I got to ride with my brother. Man, you cannot bring in a quarterback in training and play behind Fields in this scenario. I think it would be a mistake because you're not far off. The Bears games, they've lost a few tight games. You bring in another player or two dynamic players with Fields, that recipe, all of a sudden we're 6-5, 7-4 just by adding in a guy. And I know we're talking about like franchise altering QB. I do believe that you can still continue to win and have a strong team, a strong quote-unquote program year to year with a Fields in play instead of taking the home run shot looking for the next Patrick Mahomes or whomever.
I hear that, but look, I'm trying to be a winning franchise, right? And when I look at three organizations that did exactly what I'm talking about, I think about the San Francisco 49ers bringing in Trey Lance with Jimmy G there, bringing in Brock Purdy or whatever. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles when they had Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, whatever that was there, and they still bring in Jalen Hurts. I look at the Kansas City Chiefs that bring in Patrick Mahomes when they still have Alex Smith. I just those are winning franchises.
That's actually,
and I am just trying to mirror whatever they are doing. They don't think it's a bad idea to do those things. And for me, I don't think it's a bad idea either.
I guess it's been done before, but typically you wouldn't want that. I feel like it's more of a...
Especially because you have two top 10 picks. It's not like you're doing it on Jalen a year Hurts. Where you only have one pick and you're
Jalen
blowing
Hurts,
it.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts was a second-round draft pick.
Exactly. Those guys are second-round, later-round. Brock Purdy, I mean, Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Hurts. I mean, and so, yeah, if you want to go ahead and use some draft capital on a third or fourth round QB development, develop a guy, let's do that. But I would say if you're going to use your top 10 on a QB, you know you're resetting your organization because you are in rebuild mode, unless you're getting a guy, an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning coming in. And even those guys struggled in year one. So we're back to rebuild, trusting a coaching staff to develop a quarterback, which we have never seen in Chicago. I would rather have the guaranteed B option instead of shooting for an A+ and with a chance of getting an F. You know what I mean? So let's continue to develop, guys. And I think that's where we differ. But I would like to get back to a little bit more old school Bear football, well-rounded team, play strong D. We saw the recipe. We got the W this week. Hey, the Bears win this week, guys, on Thursday after the bye. Coming up on next Sunday. What's the odds of them running the table going 9-8?
I don't know about that, man. Gabe has him winning two more games.
You have him winning three.
I have him winning three, so I don't think we're right there. But, I mean, you do bring up some valid points with the games the Bears have lost. If you win that game against the Lions, and I'm not saying they were 90% victorious. That's what there was like 94% chance they win. And against the Broncos, it was like an 85% chance they win.
Right.
These are two games that they should have, Gabe.
I agree with you. Two games they should have would put them in a much better situation. Corey, I appreciate you calling in, man, and checking in on Lil Broski over here. I'm a big brother myself, so I know what that is, you know?
Hey,
so.
And all those leftovers you got there, I mean, today's probably the last day you should eat them. I know you've been smashing
turkey
them all
sandwiches
week.
With mac and cheese on and mashed potatoes on top. All right, Corey.
That's so funny because, I literally had that conversation with my wife. We still had that sweet potato from Thanksgiving, and I made the judgment decision. That hit the garbage today, guys, so I'm on that side.
Smart. Once the sugar starts crusting around the sweet potatoes, you know it's time to throw those things away. All right, Corey, thanks for calling in, man. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor right here on 670 The Score. Clay, the Bears are in a tough situation, man. They're in a tough situation because, you know, you look at some of the – pull up that clip because I want to ask Clay about this this thing too. When you're looking at what happened at the end, you saw, Justin Fields, hugging Eberflus and Ryan Poles picking him up. Have you ever had a moment where, during your NFL career where, you had a moment with an exec where you thought everything was all good and then a couple months later, something else happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's happened.
So we shouldn't read too deep into the smile and hug from Poles and Eberflus to Justin Fields.
I remember when I was playing with the Lions, the Detroit Lions, we were in the playoffs. We lost to the Seattle Seahawks, and I was right. I was a backup tight end. I had, you know, I had a probably about 10 to 15 snaps on offense. I was actually playing a lot of fullback that year, and played core four special teams, and I had a really good game, like physical game. And I remember Dan Quinn, the GM, you know, coming up to me before I left the building. He's like, "Hey, man, I just want to say you really set the tone out there. You know, it's like, we need that guy here in the building. We're gonna get you back here in Detroit. And, you know, I'll be in touch with you and your agent." I'm like, "Dang, man." I'm like, "Thanks." Then come around the combine, that's when you start hearing about who's going to sign you to free agency. And I'm like, "Yeah," I told my agent. I go, "Yo, Detroit, I'm back in Detroit. Done deal. You know, talk to Dan Quinn, see that's what he has great. To say." And agent comes back. "Yeah, I talked to Quinn." I'm like, "Yeah, what'd he say?" "He said they don't want you. They're going younger." I go, "Man, this dude was so jacked up about how I set the tone, exactly what they need on this team, the special teams. And then a couple months later, they want to go young? He was jacked up, shaking, squeezing my hand, giving me a hug. Like, man, you really set the tone out. There were some huge blocks playing physical. Yeah, we're actually going younger this year, Dave. Sorry, I wish Clay the best."
It's a financial decision at that point, I would assume.
Yeah, right? Financial decision. They don't want to pay the old guy. And my actual most awkward moment of my NFL, probably of my life, Gabe. I'll just tell you this quick story.
Great. I love this.
This is before a playoff game in 2010. Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Vick's the quarterback. DeSean Jackson just retired today. Heck of a career, DeSean. And Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, comes to the locker room sometimes before games. Not all the time thing. And he's walking up to the... you know, to my locker, and you can see him walking through
he's
the locker
right
room.
Right up to yours?
No, he's walking through the locker room, like giving guys hand. And I see him; he's shaking some guys' hands. He's giving some guys a pound. And when the owner comes in, everybody's kind of like at attention. You know, this is the owner. This is the guy cutting the checks.
Right.
All right, this guy's cutting your checks. You want to make sure you're real cool. I'm like, all right. So he comes up to my locker, Gabe. I go for the handshake. He goes for the pound. I switch to the pound. He switches to the handshake.
You're cut after that.
Then I switch. This is a true story. I switch back to the handshake. He goes to the pound. Last minute, I switch to the pound.
No.
He shakes my fist, my pound fist, and just shakes it. And I'm still getting awkward goosebumps right now thinking about how bad that was. And I had to go out and play a game after that awkward embrace with the owner. And we end up losing to the Green Bay Packers. Sorry, Chicago. They end up going on that year, winning the Super Bowl. We lost by 4 in the last second interception in the end zone. Michael Vick throwing the ball to Riley Cooper.
Should have been going to you.
Yeah.
That would have been the great. All right, give me the wrap-up music, Alex, because we are up out of here. Got to thank our guests for today. Of course, in the 6 o'clock hour, we got to talk to Dave Brugler from The Athletic. Carmen Vitale from Fox Sports hung out with us in the 7. And then Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports wrapped us up in the 8 o'clock hour. Got to thank our producer today, too, Alex Kuhn, for holding things down.
Alex.
No cut?
No one says good things about me, so I don't have...
Alex is the guy, man. Good stuff today.
Don't judge him by his last name.
Next time.
Alex is very proactive, like sending us the breakdown, sending us our guests. Like
a lot of pressure from upper management on that stuff.
Oh,
gotta get stuff done. I know how it goes over here.
Yeah, well, he does a good job.
Clay, you did a good job today, man. A great job.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy working with you. Look forward to the next time. Make sure you follow him on social media.
Do you know my tag?
What is it? C Harbs or Clay Harbs?
Clay Bachelor at.
No, it's not.
Stop. I'm kidding.
All right. If you want to have some content to talk to your girlfriend about later today, just go look up Clay Harbs. She'll know who he is. All right, mi gente. That means my people, you included there. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, which will be tomorrow, 6 p.m., leading you into Thursday Night Football. And then I'll be doing the morning show on Friday, so make sure you guys check me out there with Mully. I'll be filling in, all right? I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Clay Harbor, and this... Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.